WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to Student Section MLB back here again this week. Guys, a lot of news, a lot of playoff talk, and I think a very exciting show. I mean, let's go ahead and get right into it. If you did not see the news this morning, Max Scherzer is out for the regular season at least. It is the reporting makes it seem like he's also out for the playoffs for the Texas Rangers. Guys, let's get right into it. This is huge AL West implications. This is huge Texas Rangers implications. And overall, I mean, even the American League with the news today. So, Luke, let's get right into
it. It's just a brutal blow for the Rangers. I mean, after DeGrom goes down, they make a move for Scherzer, and he's just started to pick it up lately. He's been looking good. The Rangers obviously making a push to win that division, and him going down, it is a brutal blow for them. I mean, that's pretty much all I got to say.
Yeah, I mean, again, for the Rangers, this was a team that has struggled for, what, at least 5 years now?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even last year, I mean, but that was a brutal season because that was the season where it's like, okay, we got it now all together, guys, and fall flat on their face. They have a great offseason. They seemingly have a pretty good season going through even in that tough ALS. Now, it seems like all hope that just the wheels on that train are just falling apart. I mean, Luke A., our resident Mets fan, I guess what's your thoughts here? Of course, Max Scherzer, a former Met, someone we've seen in the NL East. Now he has an injury that over the past 2 years, this is becoming more and more common compared to his national days.
Yeah, exactly, Carson. I think, obviously, the Rangers making one of the biggest moves in this offseason, acquiring Jacob DeGrom. From the Mets, arguably one of the best active pitchers right now. He only gets to pitch something less than 10 starts before he's out for the season. Having to get Tommy John again, obviously that recovery is not easy for anyone, especially someone who's had it already, and Jacob DeGrom's injury history is not good. And then the Rangers make another move for a former Mets pitcher in Max Scherzer, Mets legend. And he was actually picking it up really well. Not the best season for him in the first half when he was on the Mets, but he started 8 games for the Rangers with a 3.2 ERA, pretty solid. 1.38 ERA plus is pretty good, especially for him at his old age. I know he's a future Hall of Famer, and you expect the best out of him, and he was giving them the best. And it's just sad to see for them, especially now they're a game back in their division. And it seems like we're going to be bringing up this AL West competition every week until the playoffs start. I mean, you have the Mariners, Rangers, and Astros all within 2 games of each other. And with 2 weeks, a couple weeks left to play, and they're going to need every win they're going to get. And missing out on those last few Scherzer starts is definitely going to hurt them.
I mean, yeah, for the Rangers now, I mean, it's basically sink or swim. I mean, I think we can all agree to that. And, you know, if you want to swim, Scherzer's got to help you swim. And now you're kind of, I won't say they're dead in the water. There's a lot that can happen. We've seen scenarios like this happen and teams just kind of rally around and say, all right, everyone needs to put their best foot forward with this. But you got to think, if you are a Rangers fan, man, what's next? You know, is DeGrom going to get even more hurt? It's just like, I can't. I just hate it because it seemed like everything was put together. They were actually having a good season. They were probably going to, if they weren't going to win the AL West, they were at least going to have a really good campaign compared to past seasons. And now, this. So I mean, let's go and talk about Houston. They have a 1-game lead. Texans, of course. I mean, excuse me, not the Texans. Wrong league. But the Rangers, they have a 1-game behind, and Mariners, they're 1-game behind. So. I guess, what do you guys see? Do you see the Houston holding on to this? Do you see Seattle pulling ahead? Do we see maybe Texas pull ahead, or maybe they fall back really badly?
As much as it hurts to say, I think the Astros come out on top. As you know, I hate the Astros, but I don't see them losing that division.
I mean, I hate to agree with you. It just... can this team go away?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know many people who like the Astros, obviously, and they have 2 series against the Royals up ahead in their schedule, so, I mean, it's going to be hard for them
free
to lose
wins.
Those games.
Free
you know,
wins.
They lost to the Athletics at home yesterday.
That's true.
They actually lost back-to-back games against the A's at
home.
Oh,
did
now.
They? Oh
so
my.
They're on. They might get swept by the A's at home. So, I mean, but they have. I mean, they play the Orioles and the Mariners and the Diamondbacks as well. Those teams are all in the race for the playoffs. They're hot teams too. So, those are not going to be easy games either. So. But I do think that they'll hold on to this lead. Obviously, the Rangers still in contention. Obviously, they were a great team before they acquired Scherzer, even without DeGrom during that stretch for most of the season before the deadline. So they still could pull ahead, absolutely. But it's still going to be hard. I mean, they have two series against Seattle and a series against the Angels, as well as they're playing Cleveland. They're on a couple wins. They're on a four-game win streak right now, so they're hot. But yeah, those extra few Scherzer starts they would have had definitely would have helped them, especially in the playoffs when he would have been in their rotation too.
Yeah. Now let me say I've seen both sides of the report saying he is either possibly could return for the playoffs, you know, maybe he's just going to heal up and then maybe just kind of ride out the injury through the playoffs, or he's out of the playoffs. So we're not 100% sure on that yet. So if the Rangers make the playoffs, we could see him return. Could not.
I saw the Rangers GM Chris Young said Scherzer is unlikely to pitch in the playoffs.
Okay, so yeah. that
and I don't think he should either. I mean, you saw him pitch in the wild card series for the Mets last year, and he didn't do too great. So
yeah,
and it seemed like he was hurt in that game as well. So especially now, if we know that he's hurt, I wouldn't have high hopes for him if he were to start a game in the postseason. So
yeah, man, it just I just really feel bad for Rangers fans because this seemed like the season where the window opened. And now it feels like it's kind of went shut for just one guy going down. But again, like I said, we've kind of seen scenarios where we've seen people kind of rally around. I guess your thoughts real quick. We talked about Houston a little bit. Seattle, do we see them possibly take advantage of this? Because, again, AL West, if you're one of those top three teams, it's basically a bloodbath to try to clinch that division. And right now, I mean, Seattle... They're still keeping up. They're in the last wild card spot. They're right there with Texas, in as seen in the playoffs. But Toronto is hanging around only half a game behind. So, Luke,
I could see Seattle making a push, especially with how hot they are. I mean, Julio Rodriguez is a superstar, and he's taken over. And obviously, he hit a home run to bring him to a 30-30 season. I think it was last night or two nights ago. But, yeah, I mean, I don't – this is anybody's division. I mean, this is what you love to see just as a baseball fan, a three-way race for to win the division. You don't get to see it often. There's not many divisions with three teams that could go on and do this. So, I mean, honestly, yeah, it's anybody's division. I could see the Mariners coming back and win. I could see the Astros taking it away. I could see the Rangers even still winning it. But – like I said before, I do think the Astros are going to pull away with that.
Now, I actually want to talk about something. Just kind of talk about what's been happening with the Rangers. So they've been notorious this season for losing pretty close games.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct. So I actually saw this graphic put together.
Saw it to you.
I want to show you for the Rangers, because they probably had one of the biggest impacts with this. Uh-huh. If they won those games where they lost by one, they would be currently sitting with an 86-58 record in the AL West, 3.5 games ahead.
Yeah.
That would be a sizable lead where you're able to...
Did you see the AL East on that graphic? Every team is like 9 games over at least.
Yeah.
Like all 5 teams are...
Yes. And it's just the Rays. It's just the Rays.
And the Rays have 95 wins with that.
But I think it goes to show you for the Rangers. I mean, like, it just feels like bad luck, this, mm-hmm. like, where you have a window open, but... At the same time, it feels like it's trying to close itself for no good reason.
It's like they came so far and came so close, and now it's just all crashing down. Kind of sounds like life as a New York Jets fan, but we're not going to talk about that.
Okay. All right. You can cope on it. You should have gone yesterday's show if you want to go cope about that. All right. Anyway, so I guess final thoughts as we kind of wrap up this segment. Luke, I want to hear your thoughts on the AL West. How are you going to see that in the future in the playoffs?
In the playoffs, you're saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the Astros will never go away. I think they'll be in the AL championship no matter what. I don't know if they're going to make it to the... I think the Orioles are going to the World Series.
Well, I'm talking AL West. I'm talking
AL
West.
No, but I'm saying I think the Astros are going to make it to the... championship game. I think all three teams can make the playoffs, so I think I think all three of them will. And I'd like to, love to see how that matches up with other teams, how the playoff picture comes out.
All right, Luke.
I mean, yeah, I think it's anyone's division still. Just talking about the Mariners, they definitely have the hardest schedule left out of those three teams. They have a series against the Dodgers, two against Texas, and one against Houston. But if you think about it, that they end their schedule with Texas, Houston, and Texas, they really control their own destiny. If they win those games, they're going to win that division. So if they can get hot towards the end of the season, I wouldn't be surprised if they sneak into that wild card, or even they sneak into the division. And if you look at that AL West, I mean... if all three teams make it, which is a decent possibility, looks like we're going to have to see an ALDS matchup, a divisional matchup in the ALDS, and we saw that last year where Houston swept Seattle in three games.
Right.
So, but if we see that again, it's going to be a different matchup. I mean, Seattle does have that star talent, obviously, with players like J-Rod, and they have Luis Castillo in their starting rotation. I mean, they have really good players, so... it is going to be really interesting to see in the last 3 weeks. And even just in that wild card, I would not sleep on I wouldn't sleep on the Blue Jays. I mean, they're one game back, and they're fighting for that spot too. So they need to get hot. All three of those teams need to get hot. So
yeah, I guess kind of wrapping up my thoughts. Look, for Texas, you're in an interesting spot. I forgot about the Seattle's doing that Texas, Houston, Texas. That's big, because that determines a lot of destiny right there for that entire division. So we're going to see that this is probably one of the divisions that is going to wrap up and probably final or second to last day of the season. So we're going to have to go on from there. Right now, I think there's a scenario where Texas kind of loses their spot in the playoffs to Toronto with this news. I think Seattle could take advantage of this, and I think, you know, even Tampa Bay a little bit. So we'll see how that goes. An interesting scenarios as we move forward. Next segment, though. When we return, the Braves, they are officially in the playoffs. They're the first team to make it in. No other team has met them yet, and they control their destiny. They could be controlling the NL East playoff spot tonight. We'll talk about that and more right when we return in about 5 minutes.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And hello, everyone. Welcome back to Student Section MLB. I'm, of course, your host, Carson Keel, here right now on WVUA 90.7, the Capstone. So, guys, let's get right into it, talking about the Braves. Of course, where are we, Luke A? Where are we?
At the head of the division.
We are in Braves country.
Oh,
there
we
you
are.
Go.
We are in Braves country.
Yes.
We, the Braves, are about to win the NL East today.
I'm not forcing you to say that part. I'm not, but
I mean, it was going to be said at some point.
Yes. But still, the Braves have clinched their way into the playoffs. They are going to be in no matter what happens now. But they could be also clinching their way into the NL East today. I'll let you talk about that since you volunteered to give that information to everybody.
I mean, as much as I don't want to talk about it, I mean, yeah, they clinched a playoff berth earlier this week. They're going to be the first team to 100 wins, most likely. And, yeah, I mean, the Phillies, if they lose two more games, they can't win the division, and the Braves are currently beating them right now. And if that score holds, the Braves will be your NL East champions. Spencer Strider pitching a good game so far. So it seems like that is likely going to happen tonight. Braves up 4-1 in the top of the seventh.
Yeah. Are they in Atlanta or Philly?
They're in Philly right now.
Okay, so sweet tears, that's all I'll say, is when that happens. I guess let's talk about that and the NL East, kind of the complications with that, now with the standings and such. So, of course, the Braves, like I said before, already clinched the playoffs. They have that. It's not an issue. Right now, with the news today, that probably with the win tonight, they're going to be able to get that NL East. Let's go and talk about how ahead the Braves have been so far. To just go ahead and tell you why the Braves are clinching so soon the NL East, the Phillies are currently 16 games behind.
That's a lot of games, Carson.
That's a lot of games. The Miami Marlins, as much of a fight they put up this year, 21 games behind. The New York Mets, I'm sorry, 28 and a half games behind. And then Washington, 30 games behind. They've all been eliminated besides Philadelphia to clinch the playoffs, of course. Not clinch the division. So, I guess, yeah, the Braves are doing really good. I mean, this team has been very surprising to me. This isn't like 2021 where they had kind of a deadline where they saw a lot, saw some changes. This is a team that they still had the Braves issue of, oh, we're going into a season, we're not doing so hot, guys. And then, of course, right around All-Star break, things start to get interesting. And now, Ronald Acuña Jr., you have him hot. You have Ozzie hot. You have Matt Olson hot. Austin Riley is still doing his thing. You have Sean Murphy. I mean, it's amazing what this team is and what they are. I mean, I don't know. Is there any way to describe this besides just like you have pretty decent hitting with Morton, Spencer, sometimes you have Freed, and then you know, you kind of have to rely off, you know. I mean, this has basically been just beat them until they're dead baseball. Is there any other way to describe it with the Braves?
I mean, not really, Carson. I mean, they're just playing. They have the right players playing well at the right times. I mean, they've been red hot. They have one of the best offenses of baseball. They score a lot of runs.
I'll say
the
best.
Runs.
I'll say the best, even.
I would say that, too. I mean, NL MVP favorite, Ronald Acuña. Home run leader, Matt Olson, at 52 now, right?
Yep, 52.
And, yeah, you mentioned Sean Murphy, one of the best catchers in the National League, both offensively and defensively. Ozzie Albies hitting really well now. Austin Riley. All consistent. Guy is still getting really hot, like up to this point now. So at this point, it's going to be hard to stop them.
Okay, and say this: you have even as much as Braves fans like me do not like him, Ozuna last year was basically the scorner of the fans' rage, and now he's actually producing.
Ozuna from the Braves.
Yes, yes, as quoted in a police recording video, you know.
Oh, yeah, that is awesome.
You know, as much as the man, you know, okay, I'm not going to go there. But as much as but the man just where was this last year? Where was this last year, man? It's like, oh, come on, Luke.
I mean, when you have a roster as stacked as the Braves have, it's hard not to pull away with the division. And the reason their roster is stacked like this, I touched up on this a lot last year, as you know, Carson, but the Braves players' agents just must hate them or something.
No,
because
these contracts that they are buying out the operation years.
These
That's exactly
contracts
what they're doing.
That
they're
they are accepting are mind blowing.
They're
the fact
the
that they have
dates.
Ronald
exactly
Acuña and Ozzie Albies under control for less than $100 million is unbelievable. And that, due to that, is why they can build such an insane roster. I mean, top to bottom, their roster is stacked, and it's going to be like that for a while because these guys are...
Luke, it's very simple. Again,
they care about rings more than money. I wish the Yankees did, but that's it.
Don't start crying. Hold on, I'm trying to explain to you.
I'm not gonna cry. What?
All right, look. Here's what's happening. The arbitration years are being bought out by the Braves in return for a nice stack of money, so they don't have to go in front of the arbitration guy. You know, I forget the position that they're called, and then. They buy out those years at a reduced cost.
They're being robbed. That's what's going on here. It's robbery. It's highway robbery.
That is an arguable and debatable idea. Just because Ozzie is just getting paid $35 million over a course of 7 years.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
It's not...
Like Strider accepted one too. Like, what was it? He 120 over 9 or something. Like,
I believe it was 10.
So dumb. Like, how?
As if that's any better.
Why did you accept that? He's literally leading the NL in strikeouts. He's like top 5 in Cy Young.
Do you have $120 million right now?
I mean, no, but I'm not.
He has $120 million now.
Well,
but he
doesn't
have
it right now. He doesn't have it right now. He'll have it in 10 years when he really could have
$400
million. Okay,
he's getting $12 million a year. There you go.
That's like average, if that, for an MLB player. Spencer
Strider, that's a lot.
Spencer Strider is worth way more than $12.5 million a year.
It's not like in New York City where $12 million is like $3 in your pocket.
I mean, $12 million's not bad by any means, but he does deserve to be making a lot more than that, is all.
That's a disagreeable take. That's all I'll say in terms of our salary. Liberty Media, I'm sure, though, there's a big bonus for Alex Anthropoulos every year when it comes to those profit margins and the Braves. I guess let's talk about, though, real quick. Again, remember how every year it seems like the NL East is going to be this bloodbath, and last year was the only time it was really the bloodbath, and now it's back to being, oh, this one team is just really dominant again, guys. Here we go.
Yeah, I mean, and last year it wasn't even a bloodbath. I mean, it was the Mets were up by quite a lot at the trade deadline, the All-Star break, and then the Braves got super hot, and the Mets cooled down, and the Braves took it. And then the other three teams kind of stayed stagnant. I mean, the Marlins and the Nationals did not finish too well in the standings last year. And the Phillies made the wild card, but they were out of contention for the division title pretty early on. And, I mean, this year it was basically the same thing except even earlier. I mean, the Mets started hot but cooled down way sooner, and the Braves just kind of stayed. Steamrolled their way through. The Marlins made some noise, but they've kind of regressed towards 500 now, and they're two games back of the wild card, obviously now eliminated from the division, but obviously because the Braves have been so hot.
Yeah. Okay, can we talk about how disappointing the Marlins were? Luke, I mean, last year, Luke, like we were talking about last year, we saw the Marlins as kind of like the dark horse, and for a bit they were.
I had them making a wild card when we did our preseason projections. I thought they were going to come out firing. I thought they were going to take a lot of people, take notice of the league, and I thought this was really going to be their breakout season. Their young guys they have, but then Alcantara had a down year, and they had injuries that they were battling.
Jazz.
Yeah, and then. And then obviously now recently Alcantara injured, Jorge Soler injured, De La Cruz injured. I mean, it's rough to see. I thought this year was going to be their breakout for them.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm interested to see what happens. I think we're in for another offseason where they potentially make some moves. I would love for them to really go after a big free agent.
They need a big star. Marlins just go after role players. Like they bring in like Gene Segura.
Yeah.
Who then, like, retired or something?
Yeah.
Traded him, and now he's a free agent, or I don't even know. But they bring in, like, role players to, like, Miami's a big market, and Jazz is a great player, but he's not a star yet.
Yeah.
And they need a superstar. And I'm not sure the list of free agents in this upcoming year, but... Maybe they trade for Mike Trout, man. That would be awesome.
Be sneaky.
I think isn't Trout a free agent? Or I know Otani is, of course, but
Trout's not.
Trout's still under contract because that is something that happened this past week. The Angels did say that they are now open to trading Trout in the offseason,
which was basically confirmation. He's getting traded. You know.
So and I would be shocked if he didn't request a trade. So it seems like he will get traded because he is going to be under contract next season. In LA.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the Marlins would be a fun team to see Mike Trout on, but I mean, yeah, like the Marlins, they haven't really gotten any star guys. I mean, their window's open for, it seems like, at least a couple years down the road, so it would be nice to see if they could lock up a free agent for, like, at least a 6-year deal, and that would keep their window open for that period of time, and it would be very open if they could sign someone, one of the top free agents in this offseason. Like Luke said, I don't know who the top guys are.
I just pulled up the list. There's some big names.
Hang on. Is Altuve a free agent?
I don't think there's any way he doesn't re-sign.
No,
is the thing.
I think he's restricted.
Okay.
Yeah,
because second base, they have Whit Merrifield, Jorge Polanco, Adam Frazier.
I'm just saying, Altuve and Miami, that could be deadly. I'll say that as a Braves fan.
There's actually some big names.
Marcus Stroman.
Ooh, that could be a good one.
The Marlins, their lineup is pretty decent. If they could target pitching, I feel like. And Marcus Stroman's had a career.
No, I feel like they need a hitter, though. That's been the issue.
Matt Chapman. I could see the Marlins going after Matt Chapman.
That could be a good
one. That's a good one, too.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
Who else?
Blake Snell's a free agent.
Who wants Blake Snell, though?
He's about to win having, NL Cy Young. He's going Cy Young. He's going nuts this year. I would give him $200 million.
Yeah.
Zach Greinke.
You know what? He is probably... Look, I think everyone knows the story of Zach Greinke at this point.
He's funny, man.
Yeah.
It's just like... He's the only person that it makes sense that he throws a four-seam and a changeup that are the same speed.
Okay. It's very clear that the man, like... That brain is very different than ours. But, like... Imagine him in Miami. I bet you, like, if he was like negotiating his contract, he would say, "Bring back the sculpture to the Depot Field."
Well, listen, didn't Cody Bellinger only sign a 1-year deal?
Yeah, Bellinger is a free agent, and he is a Yankee.
Yes,
he's a Yankee. 100%
should target him. I mean, he's having a career year himself.
Yeah,
so man, we'll see what they do. But I mean, that's a couple months down the road, and I mean, they usually disappoint in the offseason anyway. So, I mean, they made some surprising moves at the deadline, buying moves that turned out decent, but obviously the team didn't. So we'll see if they continue that aggressive buying mentality in the offseason.
They're in buying mode. That window is starting to open, and I think if you want to keep it open a little bit longer, you got to buy.
I agree.
All right, we'll keep this brief just for you. Because I'm going to go hard on look at the next segment. I'll look to you on the next segment. We got to talk about it, though. I'm sorry. All right.
It's not over.
Let's talk about the Mets.
Not much
to
say.
Lowell Mets. That's all I'll say. Lowell Mets.
Yeah, there's not much good to say. I mean, they did just hire a new president for operations. We'll see if that works out next year. But, I mean, yeah, they've been winning a few games. Obviously, it's not super relevant anymore. It is nice to see them win games, though. They've been taking a few games from wild card teams like the Diamondbacks. They're beating them right now 4-0. They beat them yesterday. So, I mean, they're still making some noise, like playing spoiler at the very least, which is nice to see.
Okay. Now, I think this is the question everyone's wondering. Is Buck next back season, or is he gone?
That is a question that I ask myself. I think he should be back. Obviously, I mean the roster last year was loaded, so it would have been hard to not win 100 games with that roster. But, I mean, Buck has been a pretty solid manager. I mean, his entire managerial career. And he did a really good job managing that team last year. Obviously, very disappointing this year. But, I mean... with the season he had last year, I would want to give it one more chance and see if he can do that again.
I don't see it happening. I think he's gone.
I think he's gonna come back. I love Buck.
I like him a lot.
As a Yankee, great coach. We named our first dog after Buck, and he was honestly like you said, Luke. His entire career as a manager, he has been above average. You don't just lose baseball knowledge. He's still got it, you know.
He won the Manager of the Year last year for the National League. I feel like it would be silly to not at least give him some chance, at least start the season with him. If he really does perform poorly, then we'll see what happens. But I think it would be silly not to bring him back, at least for the start. I mean, Mets have some hope for the start of next season. Ronnie Mauricio is playing very well in his first couple weeks in MLB. Stud. And they have a lot of nice young talent. Obviously, Francisco Alvarez is playing really well in his first season. So they have something to look forward to next season. So, they do have still high expectations for next year. So if they do underperform, then I would say Buck is on the hot seat. But as for now, I think he's safe.
I don't know, man. I'm in a weird place where I think I gotta say this because we gotta wrap it up real quick for a commercial. But Steve Cohen is someone who seems to want results very fast. Yeah. I don't think he's gone far, and I think there's a. I'm not gonna say you've kind of talked me off the ledge a little bit of it's 100% certain, but I still think it's like 75% he gets fired. I think basically the players have to come together and say no, please don't fire him. For him to stay.
I do think the players like him, though, so even if the front office did question firing him, I think the players would stick up for him, and I would like to see that, too. Obviously, you want to see a team in support of their manager. So, I mean, we'll see what happens.
Yep. All right. We'll be back in 5 minutes, guys, here on Student Section MLB.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back here to Student Section MLB, of course, here on WVUA 90.7, the Capstone. Guys, let's talk about the Yankees. I talked about this a little bit. There you go. There's the reaction a little bit. You guys can't see it, but I know this face. All right, let's talk about the Yankees' no-hitter win.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. The Yankees, in typical fashion, get no hit through 10 innings and end up winning the game. I mean, I don't even know where to start. I mean, I see they're playing the Brewers. This is on, like, NFL Sunday, so I'm not really paying attention to the Yankee game because they are not good this year. And so I get an alert, watch. Corbin Burns through 7 innings. Also, I get it was a 0-0 game, but Corbin Burns had a no-hitter through 8 and only 104 pitches, and they took him out.
Yeah.
Why? What if your team scores? Like, let him go at least. I don't know, man. I didn't agree with that. That would have been cool. But then, yeah, 2 relievers come in. They get no-hit through 10 innings, and then the Yankees fall behind 1-0 in extras, and then they tie it, and then they fall behind 3-1, and then they tie it with a 2-run homer from Stanton, and then end up winning on a Kyle Higashioka walk-off double. I mean, wow. That might be one of the rarest things in baseball, getting no hit through 10 innings and then winning.
Yeah.
Like, when have you ever seen that?
Never. You never have.
It's insane. Yeah. It's insane.
Man. But I guess let's kind of talk about the AL East a little bit.
The Yankees are officially eliminated from AL East. Winning the AL East. We knew that wasn't going to happen. They're 7.5 games back of the wild card with not that many games to go. They probably need to win out or lose, like, 2 to 3 games remaining in their season.
They're 11 games behind the wild card.
No.
Well, 11 card elimination. They're 11, games from... They're 11 games from elimination wild card, excuse me.
Okay. So, I mean, yeah, they're going to have to win a lot. I've seen crazier things happen, but it's not likely with this Yankees team. They have the worst batting average in the league, I think, which is just about right. Beyond that they are behind the Oakland Athletics for batting average. I mean, this is a team that has a top two, in my opinion, a top two second baseman. I mean, you got Judge, he's Aaron Judge. I mean, it's just like, I'm not used to this as a Yankee, but you just don't see this. And what's crazy to me is, like, somehow we're above 500 right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, like somehow the Yankees are, I don't know if there's a chance they are because, I mean, who knows, last 4 games of the season, are the players going to care if they win or lose? But, like, I mean, they're currently 2 games from being below 500.
And which I mentioned last week that they have a 30-plus year streak
of being above 500.
Being above 500, which is one of the craziest streaks in all of sports.
I mean, if that ends this year, trust me, social media in here, you're probably gonna hear it. Just gonna be honest.
Well, obviously, but like that won't even like matter. The amount of you know what I've been receiving from everybody in all aspects of sports as a New York sports fan recently, I can handle anything.
Okay, but still, let's kind of talk about this. We talked about this team a little bit. Baltimore still hot, still going. I mean, is this the true surprise of the season?
Yes, 100%.
So far, yeah. I mean, I hope it stays this way. I mean, this is obviously the main point in the AL East races. I mean, it's pretty much only between Tampa and Baltimore right now. Baltimore is 1 game ahead, and this is where we stand right now. Baltimore is currently playing St. Louis, but their next series is a 4-game homestand versus Tampa. So
they're probably locking it down.
This probably has huge implications. Whoever wins this series is probably going to win the division. I mean, Baltimore has an easier schedule after that. They play Houston, which is obviously tough, but then they play Cleveland in a 2-game series against Washington, and then they end their season against Boston. So, I mean, I could see them winning the majority of those games at least, and especially I could see them winning this series, especially in Camden Yards. The Orioles series versus the Rays on this season, the Orioles have won 6 of 9 games against the Rays this season. So I think if they lock this down, I think they have a really strong chance of locking down the division. And yeah, like you said, Carson, I mean, they're shocking all of baseball right now by doing this. I don't think anyone thought they were going to win 90 games. I mean, like, people saw them being good, absolutely, because they have a lot of young talent, Adley Rutschman and
one of the best farm Henderson. Systems.
Yeah, absolutely. So it wasn't a shock that they were going to be decent. But 90 wins on pace for 100 is, I don't know if anyone expected that out of them.
No, I mean, we didn't get to talk about this last week, but when we talk about Baltimore, you have to bring up this aspect. Ownership, that's kind of a mess right now. It seems like the team is basically, I mean, if you believe ownership, they're on the verge of relocating at this point. I mean, you have to feel bad for fans of Baltimore if you have this team start to come together and then taken away from you like that. I mean, I hate this comparison, but it reminds you of the Baltimore Colts, kind of, where it's like, you know, what are we going to see another intimate domain kind of situation on a sports team?
I mean, I think we did touch on this a little bit last week, I think, but yeah, it is important to note. I mean, especially with how good of a season they're having and how good of a future they have, it would really be a shame if there's any talk about them relocating. Like, their window is just opening now. They're really good now, and they're going to be really good for the foreseeable future. And, like, they should keep things the way they are. So ownership is shaky right now, but obviously I hope that it comes to some sort of resolution and they keep their team.
Yeah, I think we had to talk about it when we talk about Baltimore, but, man, that just is something that ownership is – that is not a situation where, like, Oakland, where maybe where ownership has a point on relocating. That's a situation where ownership is not exactly helping themselves. We talked about the ALS. Let's talk about the famed AL Central a little bit.
What's there to talk about?
Yeah, exactly.
Not much. I mean, at this point, Minnesota now has a 7.5 game lead on the division.
And they'll be a first round exit without a doubt.
I mean, that's besides the point. The magic number is 9 games. If Cleveland loses 9 games, Minnesota will win the division. Same thing with Detroit. That is weird that Detroit is basically in the same spot in the division as Cleveland. I mean, that just goes to show
How
kind of poor that division is right now.
No, I just I just want to state this real quick. Minnesota has a .521 winning percentage. Cleveland has a .469.
Those are not very good.
Detroit has a .458. I mean, do we even want to talk about Kansas City and Chicago's?
I mean, we don't really have to. I mean, those kind of, like, speak for themselves.
Yeah.
They're already eliminated from the playoffs entirely, and that is pretty kind of evident in itself.
Let's go and talk about who's eliminated from the playoffs. So, Chicago, Oakland, Kansas City, no surprise.
Nope.
I mean, those were teams that everyone kind of had pegged for. We're not seeing a potential, you know, hype up in. Chicago, I'm interested in their offseason because – are we finally going to see the full teardown, full kind of start of a rebuild? Because they had one season where they were good, and that was it. And now that team is already a mess. No thanks to Tony La Russa, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the National League, even though it has some of the worst teams in baseball, in my opinion, only one team eliminated, Colorado, of course. I mean, will this team ever be good again?
No, never.
It's going to be a very long time.
Yes.
Obviously, I mean, they have the disadvantage of playing in Coors. It's very hard to – I mean, they need a team that can score runs. And they haven't had a team that can score runs in a very long time. Obviously, pitching is not going to be a strong suit for them at home regardless. So they need a team that can score. So unless they have that, it's not going to – they're really not going to make any noise. I mean, Chris Bryant hasn't been the best as a Rocky ever since he left Chicago, really. And they don't really have – they haven't gotten many star players recently. CJ Cron was pretty good, and then he got traded. I mean it is sad to see because Colorado is a cool team. Hopefully they come back at some point, but I have no idea when that will be.
I mean, what farm system even, you know?
Exactly.
But let's talk about a team real quick that is basically on the edge and let's be honest, basically eliminated from the wild card. St. Louis. I mean, is there we talked about the Yankees a bunch, but is there a team that, like, really kind of had the floor drop on them as hard as St. Louis this season?
very disappointing season for them. I mean, even last year, their season ended in a very disappointing fashion. I mean, they won their division, and then they go into the wild card, winning in the top of the ninth, ready to close out game one of the wild card versus the Phillies, and the Phillies scored like 7 runs on them, and then won game two to eliminate them from the playoffs, and they still had high hopes. I mean, they had guys like legends like Pujols and Molina retire, but they still had a good team, and they still had hopes to win that division. Obviously, the NL Central, not the strongest division in itself either. And now they have the worst record in it and second worst record in the entire National League, which is a huge fall off for them. So,
yeah, I mean, look, I want your opinion on this because, again, they won their division last year. They seem primed for another run this season. And, like, I can't figure out what was the issue. It feels like everything just went wrong that could go wrong.
Yeah, I mean, and it wasn't even, like, injuries.
Yeah.
It's just, like, everybody just played, like, so poorly. And it was the pitching. And I saw Wainwright got his first win last night since July 13th, and it was 199th. So and this is last year, so he needs to, like, get that 200, like, soon.
Yeah.
He probably has, what, 2-3 more starts, maybe?
Yeah.
He's basically going to have a team basically, like, kind of just say, all right, just swing at everything, you know, if he wants to get 200th at this point.
Yeah.
Which is sad, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It wasn't something I was going to expect, but, I mean, then again, it is an AL Central team.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess... My thoughts real quick before we talk about the two divisions, even though we talked about St. Louis a little bit. Interesting fall. That's all I can say. Last couple minutes, let's talk about NL Central, and then we'll talk about NL West. Milwaukee seems to pretty much... Chicago's right there, but Milwaukee seems nearly wrapped up with that division. Kind of surprised team. I think everyone kind of thought maybe St. Louis or maybe Cincinnati could grab that spot. But, guys, your thoughts?
Milwaukee won the division a few years ago, and they've been... I said this last week, and I do believe... I mean, Milwaukee's been pretty consistent for the past few years. They've been consistently solid. They haven't been particularly great, but they've been solid, and they've always been a contender to make noise in the playoffs. And it's the same this year, so it's not necessarily completely surprising that they're going to win this division. But preseason, for sure, I think the Cardinals were the favorites, and the Cubs made a lot of offseason acquisitions that... like people were excited about, like Cody Bellinger, like we said, and Dansby Swanson, obviously, so and Marcus Stroman. So they have a lot of good guys on their team, but Milwaukee's a strong team. They have a pretty easy schedule coming up. They have a series against Washington and 2 against St. Louis, so I don't think there's anything stopping them now from winning this division. Luke?
Yeah, I mean, you said it perfectly. I mean, they're running away with it. But like I said, I don't think they're gonna make it that far in the playoffs as they normally don't. But yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty much locked up now.
Yeah. And then I guess all the NL West, the team that had to come back and take the division that's basically theirs. Why do the Dodgers have to get hot all of a sudden? Even though the Braves took care of business against them. Why do they have to get hot all of a sudden? I mean, it's annoying. I mean, it looked like either Arizona or San Francisco had that division wrapped up, and the Dodgers just had to Dodger.
I mean, you knew that was going to happen sooner or later.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll get cold come playoff time if they're hot now. So, but again, I want to talk about the Padres. It's so confusing that, like, a team with that firepower can't succeed. It's like why? What is the, like, why?
Yeah, I don't really know what their issue is either, Luke. I mean, like, they have preseason predictions. I mean, they're coming off the NLCS, and they added Xander Bogaerts, and Tatis is playing the full season this year. And, I mean, the fact that they're one of the worst teams in the entire National League, they don't even have 70 wins yet, is just surprising, really. I mean, the Dodgers, obviously, they're always good. They have a... okay schedule coming up to end this season. They played Detroit and Colorado in 2 series against the Giants, who are kind of slumping right now. A team contending for the NL wild card, who is falling down the standings just a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, the Dodgers kind of ran away with the division. The number for them is if the Diamondbacks lose five games, they will win the division. But it's hard to tell. I mean, this is the Dodgers might not win 100 games this season, which is kind of surprising from them.
Good. All right, well, that's time to wrap it up, guys, here on Student Station. We'll be, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back next week, of course. We're probably going to have more playoff clinching. We'll talk about that. We'll have a lot more eliminations. We'll get to laugh at more teams. But until then, we'll see you next week, guys. Until then, stay safe.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.